Rabbi Shimon Kaplan.
Most of us remember a couple of years ago in Eretz Yisrael, an Israeli soldier was kidnapped. His name was Nachshon Waksman. And the whole world was mishtatev and mispadel that this story should end with a happy ending. In Eretz Yisrael, there were women who never lit candles on Shabbos, who lit candles all around the world. They brought in Shabbos earlier. I remember every shul said tilim between Mincha and Kabbalah Shabbos. The deadline that the terrorists made for the demands to be met was on Shabbos day. The soldier came with a very special family. People related. They walked past the house Friday night. They lived in Ramot. They were seeing Zmiras. They tried to have a shaykhus to the Shabbos and forget about the tzoras. And that night they made the raid to try and save this soldier. And it didn't turn out very well. Would have liked it to. The captain leading the raid was killed and the soldier was killed never. At the Shiva, many people came, and some journalists came to the Shiva, and they asked the father, how can it be? So much tilim was said, so many tefillahs bringing Shabbos in early, so many women lit candles who had never lit candles. How can it be? How is it possible that your son was killed after so much outpouring of tefillah to the Rabbeinu Shalom? The father answered, I've had many difficulties in my life. And each time I daven, and every time Hakadosh Baruch Hu said yes. A father is allowed to say no once. Or sometimes. A father's allowed to say no sometimes. That's what he answered the journalist. Because that's what the journalist can understand. I want to break out the real terrors, which I'm sure the father felt, but that's not something maybe these secular journalists would understand. The Yontov of Pesach is called Chag HaMatzos. The reason why it's called Chag HaMatzos, because the main theme of the Yontif is matzahs. Eat matzah and it's a chometz. The mitzvah chiyuvah, it's the first night, Pesach, to eat a matzah. And the gon, which the Mishnah Berurah brings down, right? There's a mitzvah kiyumis for every kazayas we eat throughout the entire Yontif of Pesach. The Issa chometz, of course, is the whole Pesach. The whole Yontif of Pesach revolves around the inyan of matzahs. It's called Chag HaMatzos. The Torah tells us why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Toichel olav matzah is lechem oini. Ki b'chipoz on yotzosom eretz Mitzrayim. We eat matzahs on Pesach, lechem oini. Because in great haste, we rushed out to Mitzrayim. There was no time for the dough to rise. Ki b'chipoz on yotzosom eretz Mitzrayim. In the Agada we also say, matzah zu al shumo, al shum shle hispik betzekem shle avisein ele achmet ashe lingle alei melech malchi al melochim ugolom. The end of Matzah is to remind us that we were rushed out of Mitzrayim. The chippos and the haste in which we were rushed out of Mitzrayim. And the question is, this part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the hurry with which we were rushed out of Mitzrayim, is a minor detail. Not a major issue. So we were rushed out of Mitzrayim. So many greater things took place b'shas Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yam Suf. We might feel it's more appropriate to maybe drink salt water the whole Yontav to remind us of the Yam Suf, the salt sea, which split miraculously. Why do we make such a big issue about this minor detail of Yetzias Mitzrayim? The chipozoin, this hurry with which we were rushed out of Mitzrayim. The Rambam Moy Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel Peim Mevav, he writes, the reason why the Torah instructed us to eat the Korban Pesach roasted, because as we know, roasting meat on an open flame is the quickest way to repair meat. Says the Rambam, the reason why it says Kiyam Tzli'esh, because it's to remind us again of the haste of the Chippozoin with which we were rushed out of Mitzrayim. So you've got here the Rambam, the Psukim, the Balagoda, that so much of the Yontov of Pesach, the Korban Pesach, the Matzah, is all to remind us of this haste in which we were rushed out of Mitzrayim. Why do we make such an issue about this seemingly minor detail of Yetzias Mitzrayim? In 2007, we said a whole mahalach. Maybe we'll mention it at the end of the time. The Shloah Kodesh Vasemes. But I heard a few weeks ago a gewaltige pshat, a beautiful pshat, which is a tremendous chizuk from Rabbi David Asher, who is here. One or two of you were there. Let me just speak it out again and elaborate on what he said. He brought a moshel. Someone told me, you remember this moshel being a medrash, a moshel and a medrash. There was a king, a mighty king, traveling through the countryside in his carriage. He looked out the window and he saw a peasant girl working in the fields. And he straightly saw the way she was behaving. She had a special fine kite, an edel kite. He got out of the carriage to speak to her. And he saw she was intelligent. She was a tznua. She had lots of milas. He decided on the spot he wants to marry her. So I want to marry you. I want to marry you now, straight away. Come back in the carriage with me to the palace. We'll make a wedding straight away tonight. The peasant girl said, I'm very honored to become your wife, to become the queen of the country. But I've got to speak to my parents first. They have to agree. I'm going to say goodbye to them. Okay, but quick. She came in the carriage, they went to the house, small hovel, and the king came in, the parents got a shock, and he said, I would like to marry your daughter straight away, take her to the palace and make a wedding. The parents said, oh, 1 second, take it easy. Okay, we let you take her, we're very happy she should become a queen, but let's make a suda spreda, let's make a suda banquet to see her off. The king said, I haven't got time. I want to marry this girl straight away. I want to marry her today. I want the chasna to be straight away. I haven't got time for anything. Please allow me to take your daughter and marry her straight away. They pleaded with the king. It's not fair. You've got to. Okay. The king said, okay, let's make a quick meal. And as soon as we finish the meal, let's take your daughter. Let's go to the palace and marry her straight away. They made some dough. They rolled it out, they put it in the oven, and the king was agitated, he was desperate to marry her. The dough was in the process of being baked, and the king suddenly opened the oven, said, I can't wait any longer. And he took out the bread that hadn't been properly baked, and he took out all the food that wasn't properly cooked, and he put it on the table, said, eat quickly, I want to marry your daughter. So they ate this half-baked bread and half-baked food. King gobbled it up as quickly as possible. Everybody's still in the middle of eating. We're off. The parents realized they couldn't stop it happening. And the king took this peasant girl, rushed her to the palace, married her, and she became the queen. A few years later, the king and the queen had some quarrel. And the king started shouting at her, you're a peasant. I made you into a queen. How could you do this? How could you say this? And the queen was a clever lady. She took out from a little pouch she always kept with her a piece of the half-baked bread and said, why are you speaking to me like this? Look how much you love me. You couldn't even wait for the bread to be baked. You're in such a hurry to marry me. You couldn't even wait for the bread to be baked. And she was Ma'ir in the king, that tremendous feeling of Ava that he had to her all those years earlier, that he was so desperate to marry her, he couldn't wait for the bread to be baked. We asked the question, why is the Yontov of Pesach so much about the matzah, which is because of the chippozon, the haste in which Akshpohu took us out of Mitzrayim? Why is that such an important part? to the Moedig Pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to eat matzah, to remind him of how much he loved us, how he hurried us out of Mitzrayim. Ki libene Yisrael avodai heim, le'avodim le'avodim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us and rushed us out. He couldn't wait to marry us. He couldn't wait to get us out of Mitzrayim. He wants us to eat matzah to remind him of that gewaldige love, the lechdech achrei b'midbo b'eres le'zeruah, to me'oyer rachmim, and to remind him how much he loved us, v'nissen asid in le'goel, to go easy with us, to look after us. That's what the inyan of the matzah is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do a mitzvah of achilas matzah to remind him how much he loved us. And just as important is to remind us how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us as well. We've got a two-fold reason. One is to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much he loved us. He couldn't wait for the bread to rise. And number two is to remind us how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. What are we supposed to do with this idea, with this knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much? What are we supposed to do with it? What are we supposed to get from it? And he says, "Moedig avot." In pasuk state, "Velo yochel Yosef les apek." Yosef, for a number of months, is backwards and forwards. We know so well with the brothers. He's in the backwards and brought them back again. Meraglim atem. And it came to a stage where the pasuk writes, "Velo yochel Yosef les apek." Yosef couldn't withhold himself from revealing who he was. He couldn't control himself. He saw the pain of his brothers. He saw what he put them through. He had to tell them, Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef. Steht gleich nach dem bei Yipol al Tzavri Binyamin. He fell on the shoulders of Binyamin and cried. The Rashi there says, why did he cry? He cried al Shnei Mikdoshois Shasidim Lechorev. He cried about the two bottom Mikdoshois which are going to be destroyed, which will be Chelkesh al Binyamin. And the question is obvious, where does it come in here? We come to Torahim, why is there, at this point in Yosef's life, a time to cry for the Shnei Mikdoshes, which were ostadi eschor of Bechelkesh Lebinyamin? Interesting, Chazal tells us as well, Asoro Gemalchus was because of the Mechilas Yosef. And Bechonav Asman writes in Kovitz Mamorim, an interesting thing. He writes, I'm not a Novi, but I'm convinced that the reason why Klal Yisrael suffered from a blood libel throughout the ages is because of Yitvlu as Aksoimis Vedam. Sichas got a Shaykh, Shaykh Bechon and Kovitz Mamorim. So Klal Yisrael suffered a very lot. That's all Gemalchus, possibly the blood libel. Hotekzot HaMoedig Pshat. Yosef understood that he's got to be Messiah, his brother, to be Messiah the Chait of the Mechiras Yosef. And he had to put them through a certain amount of pain. Yosef wasn't able to control himself. He saw their pain, he saw their pleading, he saw their anguish. He couldn't control himself. He said, Ani Yosef. But he said it prematurely. The pain he needed to inflict upon them hadn't been complete. He couldn't control himself. And that's why Vayipol al Tzavri Binyamin, Yosef realized that it's because he couldn't control himself there's going to be a Churban HaBayis twice. Had he exerted himself, which was possibly impossible for a human being, a little bit longer, inflicted more pain on them, once again Churban HaBayis. Zogte, that's why he cried al Tzavri Binyamin, because he realized he had prematurely revealed himself and stopped the pain they were going through. Moedig pshat. Aber the Rebbeinu Shloilam is able to control himself. Every person in life goes through tkufas. Life is about challenges and battles, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, financial. People have difficulties in their life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much. He doesn't give in to our pleading because he knows what's best for us. The Rebbeinu Shloim's Yochel is Ape. He's able to control himself. His love is so great. It's the perfect love. He doesn't give in to pleading when he knows it's not good for us. Moshe Lamad Avadoyma. You walk into a room, a mother, a father walks into a room and sees a child, a few months old, stuffed a big piece of Lego in his mouth. Sakonas nefoshes. The parent will run over to the child and try and open his mouth. The child screams, he pleads. He pushes the mother's arm away. He's fighting frantically to push the mother away. The mother knows, I've got to get this piece of Lego out of his mouth. There's no two ways about it. And she'll inflict pain and tsar on the child, even possibly causing the child to bleed. She's got to get the Lego out. She loves the child so much. She's not going to give in to his pleading, to his screaming, to his shouting. She's got to get the piece of Lego out. However much it's going to hurt, however much the child's going to plead, the mother should go away. He loves us so much that even when we plead and we daven, Shmuel knows best what's good for us, and he's able to be misapek. This is what we're supposed to learn from the Chippozoim. It's supposed to remind us of the haste in which Shmuel took us out of Mitzrayim because he loves us so much. We're supposed to use that and internalize that Shmuel has such a great love for us, even the difficulties he puts us through, is for our good, and the amount we plead and we daven and we beg, that's not going to change HaKadosh Baruch Hu from doing what's good for us, because he's able to be misapik. I think it's the first pasuk in the Torah. In pasuk in Devarim Ches Hei, the Ve'edata im levavecha, ki kasha yeyasa ish es penoi, Hashem elekech miyasreka. I'm a first pasuk. The translation is, you should know in your heart that Hashem punishes you like a father punishes his child. It's a pasuk in Torah. This moshel is mamash a pasuk in the Torah. Another moshel, a child playing on a railway line. You're on an outing, you go and you cross a railway line. Every child's excited by seeing a railway line. He pretends it's a train, stops chugging along the line. The father hears a rumble in the distance. The child doesn't understand what the rumble is. The child has to be removed from that railway line. Come what may, the child can plead and scream and shout and fight. The child's going to be pulled off that railway line by the father. Because the father's got a love. He's not going to listen to that pleading and shouting of the child. Chavos Olov is right on this pasuk. The pasuk gives a moshul of a father's love to a child. But the reality is, it's much, much more than that. That's the love that we can understand. But the love from Hashem to us is much, much more than that. Something we can't be masig b'chlal. And I think it's a gewaltig chizik for us, and that's what we're supposed to take from the matzah. And use that reminder how much Hashem loves us to be able to overcome our difficulties that we encounter in life. The father of Nachshon Waxman, what he really meant to say was this teretz. He meant to tell him that. He meant to say, Shmuel knows what's best. Not every story has a happy ending, but every story has a right ending. We have lots of stories about Amun and Betochen with gewaltig endings. They all finished off living happily ever after. There's lots of stories that don't. Not every story has a happy ending, but every story has a right ending. Chofetz Chaim writes in Machne Yisrael, he writes, Ho'amidah bo'olam haba. Machne Yisrael was a book which he wrote to be mechazik the soldiers who were conscripted into various armies, to mechazik them in their emunah, to give them a guideline in the halachas that they're going to encounter being in the army. And he writes, Ho'amidah bo'olam haba. A person standing in the next world is it depends how he tackles his nisyonis in this world. That is going to determine a person standing in the next world. Someone just told me yesterday, Gvaldi Gavot, Koirich, in the Seder night, for Matzah with Mora together. Mora, why do we lean? Why do we lean? I think he said, Shem Remelech, Bidemann Zayn Gazun. Hatte gesagt, we lean when we eat the Mora. By Koirich, not by Mor, but by Koirich, because we're supposed to internalize, even when things are bitter, we can still relax. We can still lean. Hashem knows what he's doing to us. The Bechaskel Levenstein writes, Magodla Madrega, it's such a Madrega to Mekabel what happens in our lives with a Simcha. So a story of the Yid in America was supplying a very big chain store called Kaldor with various products. And he was supplying this chain store of $3 million of products a year. He's making a tidy profit. One year, the person in charge of buying in this Caldor chain store was replaced with someone else. And he never received his order. He went to speak to the buyer, and the buyer said, "I'm buying from somebody else. I've been dealing with this company for years and years. You can't do this. Sorry, it's my decision." He went to the supervisor and discussed it with him. He said, "Look here, we can't. I feel very much for you. It's very nice. They've known each other for many years, but we can't. We've put him in charge of this department to buy the product, and we cannot. We can't mix into it. We've got to leave him, give him the autonomy to be in charge. We can't be on top of him." He was upset. $3 million. He went to the president of the company, had the shtickel shaykhs with, and he sat down with him. The president said, "I do sympathize, but I cannot intervene. We've got to give this department. He's in charge. We cannot change what his decision is." So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Please, from $3 million to nothing, give me Epis HaParnosa here." A few months later, this Caldor, big chain store, went bankrupt. And they owed the creditors lots of money, and he realized that in their time scale, when they were supposed to pay, and he wouldn't have been paid, he wouldn't have been stuck without. He said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, "You didn't let me lose $3 million, you made me gain $3 million. Gewaltige Sache. When a child's born, a child is naturally happy. If the child's not hungry, the room temperature is the right room temperature, a child is naturally happy. I once saw a line, the default of a human being is to be happy. This is Mashmir Rambam. The default of every one of us is to be happy. And what disturbs our happiness, tirdas, daigas, worry, challenges, that disturbs our happiness. Hat Rabbi Damamas in Zayn Gesund, he said, Gewaltige Sach, Ma'adim Nesimcha, V'samachta B'chagecha. He says, the Yontav, especially of Pesach, he explained about each Yontav, the Yontav of Pesach and the Yontav, when we're supposed to be mechazaka and munach, spokes in control of everything, as the Ramban writes, end of Parshas Boy, when I listen to Agdoilim, Odom, Moidim, and Isman Historim. Everything happening in our lives is from Akad Shpokes, all for our good. Look, the Yontav is supposed to bring us back to our default. Through Emunah, Betochen, and Akad Shpokes, we can bring ourselves back to the default that we should be besimcha. There's a question which I'm sure is bothering a lot of you. If everything Akad Shpokes does for us is for our good, every difficulty, every hurdle, every obstacle, every nesoin is for our good. So what's pshat? Why are we davening to change our situation? Everything Akshpoko does for us is for our good. Akshpoko loves us so much. He doesn't listen to our pleading because he knows what's really good for us. He's yochalis apeg. So the question arises, if so, what are we davening for? Why are we trying to change our situation, our position, what Akshpoko is doing for us, if it's for our good, if everything Akshpoko does for us is for our good? And the Teretz is, our job is to do what Akshpoko wants. On the one hand, we're supposed to believe everything Akshpoko does for us is for our good. He loves us. He's Yochalis Apik. On the other hand, we're supposed to daven for Akshpoko to change what's being done to us. That's what Akshpoko wants. Shpoko wants us to daven that should happen to us what we understand is good for us. That's what Shpoko wants. There's two stodim in the Rotz Hashem. So Rafael Waxman's like, isn't the Stark? He explained it very beautifully. A person is meant to live in two worlds. A world of tefillah, of prayer, and a world not during tefillah. He writes, when we step into the world of prayer, the world of Tula, we can cry, we can beg, we can plead with Akshpoko to change our situation. That's when we're davening. When we're davening, we can plead, we can daven, we can beg Akshpoko to change our situation. That's when we're in the world of Tula. The moment we finish Tula, the rest of the day, we must smile and joyously accept the way he runs our lives. These two things are the two worlds in which we live. We daven three times a day. In those moments, we can plead and daven for change, help us. I want the situation to be different. When we finish our davening, the rest of the day, we're supposed to look at our situation, our circumstances, and accept this is what's good for me. And the two are not necessarily a contradiction. What is good for me today might not necessarily be good for me tomorrow. But through Twitter we can change what's good for us. A person through Twitter can change. Hakadosh Baruch Hu giving him Torah. Through Twitter he can elevate himself to high madrega. Through the Twitter he can change what's going to be good for him. So Twitter, Avada has got a gewaltige Kraft to change the Matthias, because he can change what's good for him. He can change his Matthias. He can change the plan which Hakadosh Baruch Hu had for him. But he puts it very nicely. This question we often ask. If everything happens to us is good for us, so why are we davening? Davening is meant to be doing Ratzon Hashem both times of the day. We're living in two worlds. There's a world of Tefillah where davening is spoken, please change, I don't want this, I want this to change, I want this to become better. When we step out of that world, we're supposed to accept our circumstances joyously, smile and be happy, and understand everything in the circumstances surrounding our lives is, let's say, Vaseinu, spoken loves us, and he's doing everything for our good. And if he didn't listen to our pleading, it's because he's yochelis apik, he's able to withhold himself from changing what he's doing, despite our pleading, because he knows what's good enough, like a child is sometimes hurt by a father, because the father knows what's good for the child, and the child doesn't understand it. So that gewaltige inyan, with which we can bring out in the Seder, the Matzah, the Chippozen, it's in Me'orach Shpohu, how much he loved us, Tabrachmonos Nas, Nisnas Yidin Negoel, it's also to Me'orach, how much Shpohu loves us, to enable us to take life's challenges with a smile. Let me mention in the last few minutes, the Mahalach, the conventional Mahalach in the Inyan of Chippozen, why that's such an integral part of the Yontov of Pesach, of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Shlach HaKadosh writes, HaChippozen HaTzola G'dayla LiYisrael. The Chippozen was the most important part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Klal Yisrael were in the Mem Teshari Tuba. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken them out in that moment, they would have entered the 50th rung of Tumah, the point of no return. The Sosemes brings us from the Arizal, had there been one more second in Mitzrayim, they couldn't have been redeemed. And the Pshat is, as the Sforim explained, every Yid's got a fire in him. Ne'er neshama nishmas Adam, the neshama is like a fire, a spiritual fire. A fire can be big, a fire can be small. Every rung of Tumah a person enters, it diminishes that flame. When a person's in Mem Teshari Tumah, there's only a small pilot light. As we know, a pilot light can make a big conflagration, can make a huge fire. That little spark can be reignited and brought back to its former glory. The Neshama, for us to understand, is compared to a flame. When a person enters the 50th rung of Tumah, that's when the flame goes out. Although the Rechaim HaKadosh writes, it can't happen after Matan Torah to Klal Yisrael as a rule. The Hashem says to an individual, it can happen, and the Neshama can be snapped out. Oh, but Klal Yisrael, had they remained 1 second longer in Mitzrayim, the spark would have been extinguished. There'd be no purpose in taking them out. There'd be no Matan Torah, no Am Segula. There'd be no purpose whatsoever in taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. That, writes the Shlach HaKadosh, is the inyan of the Chippozen. If not for that hurry and haste which we were taken out of Mitzrayim, Klal would have been lost. They would have entered the 50th rung of Tumah, the point of no return. There would be no purpose in taking Klal Yisrael out. They couldn't have become the Am Segula, the Am HaNifcha, the Rabbeinu Shleilam. So Zem is right. That's Pshat. Ilu Lohoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aviseinu. If we wouldn't have been taken out, then we'd still be there. The question is, why would we still be there? Well, it's the United Nations, different rulers. 21st century, things that have changed, world opinion, what's pshat in Lohoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have still been there. Dr. Sos Emes, the pshat is, the Baal HaGadol bringing out this point, had he not come out at that moment, there'd be no point in taking us out. Klal Yisrael's daraga, which was supposed to happen at Matan Torah, wouldn't have been possible at all. The whole Nishmas Yisrael would have been extinguished, would have assimilated and become like the Egyptians. In the Hoytzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that rega, there will be no hope of being redeemed. Pshit HaMoedi Gezach, Neches Lavrom, he brings the Zohar Kodesh. This always fascinates me every time I see this. He brings in the Zohar Kodesh that the Erev Pesach, that's when they entered into the Mem Teshari Tumah, on Erev Pesach. Mamish, they were slipping and sliding. Had they remained one more day, they would have entered the Nun Shari Tumah. But what's the pshat? On the Erev Pesach, they entered the 49th rang of Tumah. At that point, they weren't intermingling with the Mitzrayim, weren't socializing or interacting with them. They were completely separate, living in a separate place. So what's pshat that just Erev Pesach, they were still slipping into the Memter Shari Tumah? What's the pshat in them? On the Svarim HaKadoshim Zogin, the pshat is that being in a Mokum Tumah, that's mashpil a person. Even if a person's not interacting in any way with a Mokum where he is, that is mashpil the person automatically, because that is the way Kedusha gets affected by being in a Mokum Tumah. Famous the story of Rabbi Chava Wasserman, most famous story. He was in America, Manhattan. He's being driven to an appointment with a car with curtains. In those days, cars had curtains. And he was sitting, learning at the back of the car. And he suddenly says to the driver, "Where are you taking me? Take me away from here." The driver couldn't believe it. He's driving through Times Square, a Mokum Tumah. And Rabbi Chana Wasserman, the greatest tzaddik, sitting at the back, looking at into his sefer in a car with closed windows. He could feel the Tumah permeating through the windows. He could feel himself having a Yerida. The metzias of being in a Mokum Tumah is mashpil a person. The metzias, just being there. They say the other story about Rabbi Chana, that might be a joke, and if it's true, that the first night he came to America, they offered him a cup of tea. Would he like some milk? They warned him it's not Geshoimah to milk. In America, there's Soimach and various Aterim. He said, "No, he's only here for a short period. Why should he be Soimach and a Heta?" The second night, again, they asked him, "Would you like a cup of tea? Would you like some milk? I told you already, I don't have Nish Geshoimah to milk." That was yesterday. Now he's been one day in America. Yeshen Andrush. He'd been Mushpa from the Sviv of America. So the Meister from Kivega, Tantra Meister, had from Shimon Hirschler, Zayin Gesund. He used to tell us, he checks the stories, makes sure they've got a Makom. Though it sounds an interesting story. Kivega married off his youngest daughter for some reason. The Chafda wasn't imposing where Kivega lived. He was in a distant town. They traveled for a few days till they got to this town. During the Chasna, the Mechutin was sitting next to Kivega at the top table. Kivega asked him, "Is everything okay? Are you happy with everything?" The Mechutin gesagt, "Yeah, I'm happy with everything. No shame, it wasn't a Bas Talmud Chacham." So, a few minutes later, he looks for Reb Kivega, but Kivega's not there. He goes outside to find where's Reb Kivega gone. He sees him outside. Kivega's very agitated and upset. "Kivega, what's this?" "Look, it's not my fault. You live a few hundred miles away from my town, and people often say things about me which are not true. But after being with me a few days, you've realized the truth. I feel very upset. You thought it was a Bas Tam Tochem, and it's not. You found it Emmas, and you're not happy." The man was fainted. "I made a joke. Chassid Shalom, it's the greatest covet for me to become the Chutn of Kivega. Please come back inside." But Kivega gives up, "I can't come back inside and sit in the same place." The boss is, "V'moishav leitzim lo yoshav, lo yeshav. I can't sit on a moishav leitzim and mock him with gemachta latzonos. Peladig ha'maisa." And that's what they say pshat in the Mishnah. It's not the Mishnah telling us not to be in a mockum of leitzim where people are making latzonos. A place where people made latzonos. We can't sit in such a, we mustn't sit in such a place. Because they look matter latzonos and I mock him, I can't go back and sit in such, I can't sit in such a place. The mockum is mashpia of a mensch. And with the tovah meruba, famous Chaznish was walking in the street in Bnei Brak. He stopped with a person he was walking with. He said, "Stop here a moment." "What is?" "So in this Mokum, two people spoke in learning today. Two people sat in, spoke in learning. I want to absorb the Kedushas of Mokum. A Mokum is mashpi on a person. That's the koyach of a Mokum. But Chai Vital writes something we can't really understand. Why did Akshpoch have to go himself to kill the Bechor in Mitzrayim? Why couldn't he send a Malach? Why did he go himself? And even in Malach and even in Shliach, spoke of a vasty bear to Simon. I went by myself. Why did he have to go himself?" So Rav Chaim Vital from Arizal, Al Pi Azoya Kodosh, the pshat is that Akshpohu was afraid if a Malach goes through Mitzrayim, he'll be mushpa from the Mokum Tomei. He'll be nifkam. We can't understand what it means. A Malach can be nifkam. As they didn't say a Kodosh. A Mokum Tomei's got a gewaldige koyach to be poigim. Even if a malach's going to fly through, he's not going to be interacting or in any way associating himself with Mitzrayim, it doesn't matter. Being in a mokum tum does mashpia of a mensch. the Rashbia Ra, and the Mela, the Malach Kenish game. Does not Arachaim HaKodesh, but Yireu Oison HaMitzrim, do they lonu. It's not that they were bad to us, they made us bad. Being in the Sviv of the Mitzrim made us bad, as they touched Arachaim HaKodesh. That's the message of the Chepozen. We spoke two Nakudas here today. We asked, what's the Pshat in the Chepozen? Why is that an integral part of Yitzias Mitzrayim? So important, that's what we eat the matzah for, that's why there's no chomet. The first malach we said, Shad from David Ashir, he said the Gevaldik of Pshat. The Pshat is, we're eating the matzah to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Harry couldn't wait to take us out. We're trying to remind him how much he loves us. To have Rachmanos on us, to remind ourselves how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. To enable us to cope with the difficulties we sometimes encounter by understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and everything he's doing to us is the type of saying even though we can't see it. That was the first inyan and the reason of the Chepozen, which the Matzah is supposed to remind us about. And the second inyan is the Shlach HaKodesh HaSemes, Arizal, the Pshat is, the haste was an integral part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Without that haste, Klal Yisrael couldn't have been redeemed. They would have entered the Nun Shari Tumah, the point of no return, and that haste enabled Klal Yisrael to be nigal from Mitzrayim. We say in the end of Magid, Al Gulaseinu V'Apdus Nafshenu. Al Gulaseinu V'Apdus Nafshenu. There's two parts. There's a physical gula and a spiritual gula. Away from Tumas Mitzrayim, that's just as important, even more important than the physical gula. The Shlach HaKodesh writes from Sechus Sochim, something we can remember that during the Seder, Kol Inyonei Cheirus, all the Inyonim of Cheirus which you make on Seder night, is a Zeche L'Cheirus HaNefesh. This is Shlach HaKodesh, from Sechus Sochim. The ik is to internalize and be a Simcha for the Cheirus HaNefesh. Ashne Gol Mutlipus Memtesh HaRetuma, Etzion L'Cheirus, that's why we do all the Simon Echeres and Mesamech Mesimcha Shal Mitzvah. The ikar of the Seder night is the Cheres on Nefesh. The spiritual redemption from the Tumas Mitzrayim, which the message for that is, from that is also this Nakuda of being careful where we find ourselves, where we allow ourselves to be. Because it's the Tumas Mashpia, the Tumas Amachim is Mashpia. Shtak Mizoicha, to take all these messages. On Pesach, when it's Nasi Legoa, which Taka Mizrech Taka, to the Gula Kreiva Mei Remeinu. Amen.